Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a climb. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, just want to let you know that we're not talking. You did not remember my dog's half birthday, and now we are not talking.
I don't even know your dog's actual birthdays,
that just
I don't
is
think.
Because you don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about my friendship. You don't bother to learn anything about my life. And that's all on you.
Get over yourself.
Get over yourself, Jessica.
Yes. Honestly, I put birthdays in my Google Calendar so I don't forget people's birthdays.
Yeah, I put birthdays in my agenda, but not, you did not put my dog's half birthday in your agenda.
Oliver, how do you feel about this? We have a special guest today. His name is Oliver, mm-hmm. and he's a dog.
Yeah.
And he's on Sarah's lap. Oliver, how do you feel about this? Are you offended?
He's pretty offended, but it was Belle's half birthday. Not really. It wasn't even.
He's offended for Belle.
Yeah. And he's not even on my lap. I'm actually, his little feet are in my hands because he's being propped up. He's being a diva. The thing is that we keep bringing him downstairs and he kept coming back upstairs. And then we're like, okay. So now he's in my room, but he didn't in my recording studio. But then, he doesn't want to be on the floor. So he's having a moment. I don't even know what he wants because he doesn't speak English, which is fine. Mm. It's fine. But I don't know what do you want? Who knows? How are you?
I'm good. A lovely Thursday, a rainy Thursday here, but that's okay because I'm excited to talk Dawson's Creek today. I'm excited every week to talk Dawson's Creek, honestly.
Me too.
Like, this show is giving me life for the wrong reasons probably because it's so ridiculous, but it makes me so happy to watch it every week.
I know. It's definitely a highlight in my week when I can watch an episode. I've been watching them so early, so it's right after we stop podcasting, I basically turn on an episode so I can know what happens next, and then it's a full week basically until I listen or I watch my rewatch to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best system, but it's because I'm so excited.
No, but I do the same thing. It's like you want to know what's going to happen next. And I've seen the show, but I haven't watched it recently. So, you know, it's still really exciting for me too.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I decided to indulge today because I decided I deserved it. I'm drinking, if anybody's ever been to New York and had Nine Pin, I'm drinking their hard cider. It's really delicious. It's local.
Very it's nice. Awesome. I don't know what Nine Pin is. Haven't heard of it.
I don't know how they got there, honestly.
I have a drink, too.
Oh, you do? What are you drinking?
Just like a canned frizzante, yada yada. Mm-hmm. We call this 90s nightcap if you don't listen to our Boy Meets World podcast. Because we drink less on this podcast because I guess we don't need it as much.
Well, because it's one of those things where it's like, well, we can have like two drinks a week, but also we are not the type of people that really necessarily want to be like indulging all the time. So it's special when you do it occasionally instead. But yes, so yeah, that's pretty much it. And in terms of what I've been watching, honestly, it's more of the same. I'm obsessed with Taskmaster, so I'm still binging that. Obviously, I'm watching the new season of The Circle on Netflix, the U.S. version. So, like, definitely give that a listen. Give that a watch if you're interested in that type of thing. This season has seriously been so freaking good. So, have you been watching The Circle, U.S.?
I have, right? Yeah, I am in the middle of episode 3. I've been trying to keep on course with the RHAP podcasting. So I've been just watching an episode a day. They release them 4 at a time. So it's very easy to just like binge it all. But yeah, I'm like on episode 2 or 3 actually. Who do you like? I haven't even asked you.
Yes. So my favorites, honestly, like throw all the men out the door because I don't care about any. Except Courtney. I love Courtney. But the women to me, like it's like Savannah. It's Tara Leisha, I think is how you say her name. Mm-hmm. I love the woman who came in and is playing as her husband, Trevor. I can't remember her name. But the women are it for me. Like I think they're amazing. Oh, yeah. And I love Courtney, too. I love the casting this season. I feel like they're all very strategic, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. Who are you liking 2 episodes in?
Yeah, I think my favorite is Tara Leisha. I really like her. I think that she is a nice mix of, like, an interesting personality and a strategic player. So I'm really enjoying her thus far. Savannah, too. But, I mean, I'm in the middle of, like, a little bit of a beef, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Not actual, like, you know. And I'm like, whatever, who cares about spoiler, The Circle, oh my God. Like, Savannah and Tara Leisha are having, like, their little...
Right, and so you're, like, on Tara Leisha's side. I'm on Tara Leisha's
side. I think Savannah's, like, a little... Yeah. I don't know.
I would say that, like... I like both of them. And so originally when they were like working together, I was like all about it. And then when they had like the fight of the century or whatever, like when they're like have different interests, I liked it even more because they're both so strong that I like thought I really enjoyed seeing like 2 powerful women like wanting to control their own fate and not backing down. I really appreciated that. And obviously I love Tara Leisha because she's a Leo and like I could sense it from the moment that she like stepped in the door. I was like, this bitch, blue hair.
There she is.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. So give that a watch if you're interested in that sort of thing. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Shall we get into the Dawson's Creek of it all?
Yes. Let's go.
Yes. Season 2, episode 2, Crossroads. You had predicted they were going on a road trip a la Britney Spears Crossroads.
I don't understand.
Not exactly.
No, I don't really understand how this was Crossroads anyway, but... No one was really at a crossroads.
No, not particularly. There was supposed to be a road trip with Pacey and Dawson that didn't happen.
Oh, actually, there we go. I am so close.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
I'm such a psychic.
So we have a ton of pairings this episode just because, like, we have new characters. So I think this is going to be more common down the road. I'm going to read the list out to you. Let me know where you want to go. Obviously, some are, like, really small storylines. But we have Dawson and Joey. Just Pacey kind of on his own. Jen and Grams, Dawson and Pacey, Jen and Pacey, Jen and Abby, Joey and Andy, Pacey and Andy, Joey and Jack, and Mitch and Gail. There's a lot.
Okay. Well, I mean, what do you think? Just get Mitch and Gail out of the way?
That was going to be my proposal. Yeah. Because
we don't care about them.
No, here's the thing. Again, it's more of the like, oh, are we going to get divorced? Are we not going to get divorced? And then we're like, we're doing an open marriage now? Like, that's what's happening? What is going on?
Yeah,
like,
it's a mess.
Do you think, what would you say if your husband came to you and was like, hey, what do you think about an open marriage?
I know it works for some people, but it would never work for me. I'm really, really jealous. Like, I would not be able to handle being in an open marriage. Even if we were both involved with other people, I would still, I know myself, I get very, very jealous from basically nothing. But no, it would not, I would not feel comfortable with my husband coming to me asking for an open marriage. I would not agree to it. And it would be upsetting for me personally. But I know people. It works for people. And everyone's different.
Right. Right. No judgment if that's, like, the situation you're in. Like, if that works for both people involved, by all means. I just think, like, that to me shouldn't be, like, a solution to a problem. Right? Like, it seems like a weird solution to the issue of my wife cheated on me and I don't know if I can trust her. Yeah. Like, I don't think an open marriage is going to solve your trust problems.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a, yeah. And it, like, we get this random friend that apparently Mitch has had forever, and he's the one who, like, suggests this. And then meanwhile, like, Gail and Grams are having a conversation, which I'm dying inside when Mitch's friend is suggesting swinging. Mm-hmm. And Grams is like, you know, you must, marriage is about enduring. Mm-hmm. Marriage is about enduring. What about renewing your wedding vows? Like,
yeah,
two completely opposite sides of the spectrum here.
So, I mean, I totally agree with Grams that long-term relationships is about enduring and getting past rough spots. What do you think of renewal of vows?
That's not going to solve anything.
No, I don't think it's going to solve anything either. Like,
you mean, like, what do I think about it in general?
No, I guess specifically that approach. I think that people, it's less so like putting a band-aid on something. It's more of like a symbolic meaning of like recommitting yourself to somebody.
Right.
So in a way, it's like another commitment ceremony. Like, and in that case, like, maybe it's not a terrible idea, but they're not really at that point where they're ready to like fully commit to each other once again.
Yeah. To me, the obvious solution is therapy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the 90s.
They've already seen a counselor, right?
Yeah, actually, no, they did go to therapy.
They've mentioned it. I just think, like, to me, working out your problems, here's the thing. Obviously, we know Mitch went to see, like, a divorce lawyer and all of that. But we know that he's willing to work on it because he seems to, want to make it work, right?
Kind of.
And obviously, Gail does, too. So, like, to me, it's like if you both are willing to try to make it work, then that's kind of the first step. And then I feel like go see a counselor to figure out your issues. Like, if you guys aren't on the same wavelength with communication, then see somebody who could put you on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Gail's whole approach is to this is to solve by sex. And obviously, yeah, Mitch is not into it. Like, he is.
No.
He's not into it. But I think, like, that's how Gail keeps trying to fix this. And it's not working.
Which it doesn't make sense to me. Because it's like, obviously, he was once attracted to you. So attraction isn't the problem. Mm-hmm. It's something else that's putting a barrier between right. you that sex isn't going to solve. Right. It's just a weird solution that she's like, oh, I bought out Victoria's Secret. Like,
no, I think I don't she know. Said that she I'm bought already... out the pleasure den.
That's right.
Yeah.
To Grams, she says this, Grams by the later. Way, everybody.
Yeah. So we don't really know ultimately what their decision is regarding the open relationship. You didn't even say what you thought of open marriages.
I think it's one of those things that if it works for you, good on you. It's not something I would ever want to
but
do.
But not because of jealousy.
Not because of jealousy. So different no, reason. I'm not than a jealous me. Person. Yeah, not because of jealousy, just because I think that like I have a specific intimacy with my husband that I don't want to share with other people. I just feel like that kind of makes what we have less special. And again, if it works for you, it works for you. And if it's like strictly sexual mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and you find that you can balance those things, great. I just personally like I don't need somebody else to fulfill those things for me.
Yeah.
Like, Will is exactly who I need in a partner. I don't feel like I need to add on to that in any way. So, like, I wouldn't want to. And now, Will is a whole other story. I'm not a jealous person. I imagine Will would have many, many issues.
Ask with him. Me He's around. I kind of want to hear what he thinks.
I can tell you.
No, bring him
thinks.
In.
He definitely.
Can we bring him in?
You want me to call him in here?
And I'm just gonna ask him the question and see what he says.
Okay, hold on a
second. I mean, he hasn't been on the Dawson's Creek podcast yet, so we might as well get him in. Hi, Will. How are you? Welcome
Hi,
to Dawson's.
How are you?
Welcome to Dawson's Creek. I know you don't live here, but it's okay. Mitch and Gail, who are Dawson's parents, are having some issues, and a way for them to solve their issues is considering an open marriage. And I want to know what you think of open marriages, and would you
get a fucking divorce?
Do you think? Okay, like, could you ever do an open marriage?
Same. Statement, like same answer. Like, you obviously don't want to be with this person. Just don't be with them.
Yes. Okay. So that's a big no.
No.
Would you be jealous?
Like, you shouldn't be jealous anymore. You should just be not with that person anymore. So it doesn't matter who they sleep with.
What do you think about renewing vows?
I mean, like, sure, whatever. It's a nice thing for people who've been together for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's something you do like maybe once, maybe twice, nothing more than that.
Weapons of Jess is like, hey, I want to renew our vows every anniversary.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Thank you, Will. Thank you for living in Dawson's Creek with us. You're now officially a creek creep. He didn't say he Dawson wouldn't consider sucks. It.
He just shouted Dawson sucks as he was leaving the room.
Yeah.
If anybody was wondering his thoughts on Dawson.
Yeah. He I mean, Will didn't say he wouldn't do it. So just saying.
He didn't say he wouldn't have an open marriage.
He didn't say that. He just said that, I mean, you should have a divorce, but.
And seems, then that would seems, not be an open marriage. Seems, that would just be being single.
Yeah, seems like he's not against it.
No. Yeah.
Sorry.
So while we're already on Mitch and Gail, I feel like it's natural to jump over to the Mitch and Gail scene mm-hmm. of them like discovering Dawson and Joey and then like having separate awkward conversations with them.
So
this was so awkward.
I mean, it was pretty, but the worst part of it was Mitch's creepy hands like slithering down the television screen to turn the TV off.
Yeah. It was just like, I don't know. Okay, I don't mind them having the conversation with Dawson about like sexual intimacy and all that and protection. But it was really weird to me to have Gail having this conversation with Joey and giving her a book called Reproduction and Repercussion.
Okay, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I don't find it that weird that Gail was giving advice to Joey for on multiple levels. Number one, Gail's known Joey since she was a kid. Number two, Joey has no, besides Bessie, but Joey has no, like, parental figures in her life. So I didn't find it weird that Gail took it upon herself to talk to Joey and give her advice. I mean, this book, like, everyone got, like, some sort of book, like, whether it was about reproduction or, like, your period or anything else. Like,
I never got a book.
Really? What about Dear God, It's Me, Margaret? Is that the, it's,
I've read that. But it was not, like, anything my parents gave me.
No, like, that was, like, that's, like, what they, I mean, that's what they
that
do.
That was the thing.
To, they give books instead of talking.
Judy Blume books. Yeah.
Mitch has a different approach. He's, like, we're just going to go all in. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about no hat.
No hat, no glove.
Which Gail's, like, that's not what it is.
I died at no hat, no glove. Can I tell you? I thought that was the funniest fucking thing I've heard in a long time. No hat, no glove.
No, I think it's like, no hat, no love.
No, he said no hat, no glove, but it's no glove, no love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, these were just like scenes again where like, okay, obviously now Gail and Mitch know that Dawson and Joey are dating. Yeah,
no more sleepovers, motherfuckers. It's like done for you.
Sleepovers are canceled forever. They should have kept this shit a secret longer.
Been
they
more
could have
careful.
Had sleepovers.
Door open, door closed policy. Now that is the ultimate thing. Did you have the door open policy?
Yes, but like I rarely was hanging out with my boyfriend like in my room. Hmm. So it didn't really matter, but my brother definitely had one because him and his girlfriend were disgusting.
Oh.
They had no qualms about, like, making out in front of anybody. And you know me. I'm not a PDA person. So I was certainly not making out.
He probably ruined it for you, didn't he?
It didn't matter because I wasn't going to do that shit anyway because I'm not nasty.
No, I meant, like, he's probably the reason why you don't like PDA because you got to see a lot of
it. Oh, yeah. Because, like, literally when you see spit, like, clinging from one person's mouth to another, like, that's it. That's disgusting.
Oh, I have more questions about this, but maybe not for the pod. are we just going to continue with the Dawson and the Joey storyline since we're here?
Yeah, we can definitely, because they're like, kind of, like, the main, I mean, obviously, they're, like,
they're not the couple. They're not the couple.
I mean, they are right now.
They're the couple. After school, they're both talking about how embarrassed they are, but they're being, like, you know, very affectionate, sweet talking, you know, they're talking about, like, their conversations are very meta. It's, like, instead of, like, talking about, like, their favorite, I don't know, like, what's on television, they're, like, usually spend their time talking about their own relationship, which is pretty bizarre. Like,
I think it's because they already know everything about each other. So they kind of are like even Dawson says, they're like, oh, they're skipping that stage. And like, he loves it because he knows everything about her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you don't know everything about me, though.
No. So, so they can't hang out at the Learys anymore because, you know, they have a strict closed door policy. So they're hanging out at Joey's and they're babysitting Alex, the baby. The baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Baby cries, and which is actually very good birth control. So maybe they should be just hanging out.
That's a good point. Nothing that ruins the mood more than a crying baby.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so Joey obviously has to go up and tend to the baby. And Dawson, the idiot that he is. And we were very complimentary of Dawson last episode. We were all in on, like, Dawson's a nice guy this episode.
Don't go crazy.
Well, we were saying he's turned a corner and he's not been this good since, like, beginning of season
one. No, I think last episode was, for me personally, his best showing.
Right. Yeah. And so now he reads her fucking journal, diary, whatever you want to call it.
Hold on. Okay. He kind of fucks up this episode, but I'm going to be a Dawson defender.
Oh, shit. It's going down. Okay. I'm ready.
It's so hard. She leaves it right there for the reading.
exercise restraint, right, Dawson. There.
Like, she leaves it, and it's like, how does he, is he sure, like, that this is her diary?
100%.
It could be any book. It could be a scribble book.
They grew up being, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, she, yeah, because she pulls it out and says, like, oh, I have to write down your dad saying no hat, no gloves. It's so funny. I don't want to forget it. Like, he knows that is her journal. That
you've never, you would not do this. If it was out in the open.
No.
Really?
No, because to me, first of all, it just goes to show that you shouldn't violate someone's privacy, because you might read something that you don't want to hear. And even though, and like, obviously we find out at the end that Joey, like, this all spun from Joey, like, venting in her own journal. She was frustrated. She had these feelings for Dawson. She didn't know what to do with. And then the whole Jen thing happens. This is her just venting, right? But, like, it's still her privacy. Like, it's her private thoughts. Whatever private thoughts she's having are not for him to know.
Yeah.
Unless she offers up that information. And it pisses me off that he, like, triples down on it throughout the entire episode. Like, just fucking say you're sorry. Yeah. But he gets way too caught up in, like, of what she thinks.
I don't know. I think that if it was right there, I'd probably wind up reading it, to be honest with you.
But, okay, okay, so you could say that you would read it, but can you agree that it's still not the right thing to do?
It's not the right thing to do, but
you're just saying that you would also be tempted, but you know it's the wrong thing to do.
And, like, I have. Like, I remember early on in our relationship, I found, like, a book. But the thing is, it's like, okay, so, like, I'm kind of, like, the person that just, like, pokes around and, like, likes to look at, like, little papers.
So you mean snoops?
Yeah, I snoop. Okay, I'm the person that likes to snoop, actually. And I did uncover a book, and I read, like, a page, and it wasn't about me, but it was, like, I read it, and I don't.
Now, are you the person that, like, visits people's houses and, goes, like, when you're in their bathroom, like, peeing, goes through their medicine cabinet? Not
the medicine cabinet, but I am the person, like, so, like, well, okay, so, like, when I bring somebody into my home, I love to do, like, a big tour. And I'm the type of person that's like, oh, like, this is my coffee table, it's from wherever, like, I'm doing a YouTube tour. And then, like, I like to, like, show people, like, the inside of, like, all of my cabinets, because number one, I organize them really nicely, but also I just, like, and when I go to other people's houses, I like to, like, open up cabinets and, like, see how people organize their shit. So
it's so strange.
I don't think it's strange. So, like, yeah, like, I, like, if I was over at your house, like, right now, like, there's, like, this Chevron bin behind you, I want to know what the fuck is in there. Like, I want to see every little nook and cranny. Like, if you have a bulletin board, I want to read everything that's on the bulletin board. Like, I'm very, like, curious. And yeah,
this is really funny because I don't do any of this.
No, like,
I could give a fuck less what anybody else
bedside table is completely off limits. I will never open up a bedside table. Never. I'm not a monster.
Yeah, but that's where people keep their journals. So
I don't know. So, like, that's the thing. Like, me and Dawson and me, like, maybe we're shitty, but, like, it was right there. And also, it's like, maybe he wanted to read something, like, good about himself. Like, the issue is that he opened up to, like, the middle. He should have known better.
And here's the thing. Open
up to the end when you just started dating.
It's bad enough that he invades her privacy, right? Like, that's bad. Mm-hmm. But then, to me, the next move is, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. If you find out that information, lock that shit down. Yeah. Don't say anything. And he cannot help himself.
I never told Drew that I read that one page of his journal.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. You were smart enough not to say
anything.
And
that was also in 2008. So I think I can forgive myself.
That's been a
while. Like, it was like a high school one, too. So it wasn't really that big of a deal.
And again, it's like, back then, everything feels way more dramatic than it actually is. But, like, Dawson can't help it. He brings it up to her. Yeah. And he's so just, like, obvious about it that she knows immediately what happened.
So the thing is that in the journal, he reads...
Oh, right. I didn't even say what it said. Yeah, go ahead.
What Dawson told Pacey, but what Dawson said is... What was in Joey's journal, I'm sick of Dawson and his stupid horror movie. I wish I can tell him how terrible it is, how stupid and putrid and rancid and it's awful. And then calls him a talentless dreamer with no cinematic future.
I mean, that is a sick burn. That is a sick burn. So, yeah. So, basically, Dawson reads it. Then it's, like, upset. Then leaves Joey. And Joey's like, what the heck just happened? And then, of course, like, Dawson all dramatically, like, stops right in front of the camera. And he's like, I've done enough reading for today.
Seriously, he's so fucking dramatic about it. Like, and of course it's about his movie. So he's like, it's like a dagger to his heart.
He didn't even finish the movie, you fuck.
Seriously, finish the fucking movie, dude. Like, I don't blame her for thinking your movie sucks.
Because it's not done.
Exactly. And here's the thing. He makes it very obvious to her that that's exactly what happened, and she is pissed. She is scary. Absolutely pissed.
She's, like, scary. And what's annoying is, like, I'm afraid of her.
Right. And here's the thing. He should have stopped when she, because he was asking her, like, oh, I just wanted to know what you think of my movie, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, obviously, you're insanely talented. Drop it, bro. Yeah. Because even if she had that thought, she was being honest with you right now.
Yeah.
And well, he doesn't drop it. She's pissed.
Is she, like, I would be, if I was Dawson, I'd be like, she's just saying this to be nice. Fuck, I'm really getting in the mind of Dawson. This is sickening.
It's scary.
I think I always know what he's thinking. I also love how Joey's like, are you having an insecurity attack right now?
It's just, did you feel that in your soul?
But like, I just thought it was like so funny. She's like, oh, are you having an insecurity attack, like, baby?
Because it's obvious that this happens to him a lot. Yeah. That he needs, like, reassurance. Yeah,
the reassurance 5 minutes of the day.
And the thing that annoys me the most is that, like, he doesn't really apologize. Like, no. He apologizes, but he doesn't.
No, not
like,
until the very end. Like,
oh, I can't believe you've never snooped in my room. And it's like, that is not the issue at hand right now. Yeah, don't try to turn this around on her.
Yep, that, like, is manipulation tactics 101.
Exactly. And so they get in this, like, huge argument about it. Dawson is like, oh, well, you lied to me about liking my movie. Seriously, bitch? Like, that's what you're going to try to pull to be mad at her? Yeah,
Joey's like, you have to respect my privacy. And he's like, you have to respect my filmmaking abilities.
Not the same thing, Dawson. Not the same. Like, oh, so stupid. God. And this, like,
it's so
basically
funny.
They're in this, yeah, and basically they're in this argument, like, all day. And then, can I tell you, I fucking died laughing at the end of the episode or whatever, when they, like, see each other at Pacey's thing, like, in the rain.
Oh, yeah. You got to get the rain budget comes in hot.
Slow motion walk. Yeah. And did you notice? They don't, like, hug. They don't kiss.
They're just, like,
Eskimo
kisses.
Yeah, I called it a weird non-hug. Because they, like, have their heads, like, on each other's, like,
are they
chest
necking?
Shoulder area.
Did you say they're necking?
Oh, yes, they're necking.
Yeah. I've
yes,
never
I would
necked.
Say they're necking.
I don't neck. I don't know.
I don't neck either. It's a weird fucking thing to do. But
wait, who?
They do a weird. They're so weird. Like,
yeah, they're very awkward. So I guess, like, meeting in the rain equals, like, they're on good terms, because that's when they get to talk about, like, how Dawson's, like, a fuck up and he, like, forgot Pacey's birthday, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe I am a bad filmmaker.
He is so ridiculous. Like, and that's what pisses me off, is even at this point in the show, he can't just apologize and drop it. You know what? I just realized.
What?
You know who he kind of reminds me of? Only sometimes.
Who's that?
He kind of reminds me of Ross from Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so insecure and he cannot let something go. Mm-hmm. And to the point where Joey has to say, I'm not letting you off the hook for what
which
you did.
Which I liked.
But I don't owe you an explanation, but I will tell you the truth about, like, what that was all about. And we already talked about that earlier. Like, she had feelings. She didn't know what to do with them. She basically vented in her journal.
Yeah.
And it's like, Dawson, why did you just not drop this from the beginning?
You just can't. A journal is a safe space where you can just bitch.
Right.
Maybe she needs a lock on her journal.
I mean, maybe she needs a boyfriend that doesn't fucking snoop in her journal.
No. But it was right there for the reading. Like, come on, Jessica. Oh, that's
listeners,
bullshit.
Let us know. Okay. Have you ever snooped in someone
else's
journal?
If it's right there, how can you not? I don't know. I just think it's bullshit, Jess.
Here's the thing. I'm not even... Okay. Snoop all you want. Don't then bring up that information to the person.
Yeah.
I think... While I think that snooping is the worst thing you could do, I think it you double down when then you bring up that information to the person you snooped on.
Snooping is the worst. So you're kind of like Joey. Like,
no, I'm saying snooping is worse, like, is bad enough without also then bringing up that information
like,
to the person.
Like, would you react like this, like Joey does? Like, really? She's, like, very intense about it. And she's, like, very, like, big on her privacy. Like, in a way, it's, like... Why does, like, privacy, besides the fact that her privacy was invaded, but it's, like, she, this, like, really bothered her. Like, I don't think I saw something bother her as much as, like, this particular thing.
Yeah. I think for me, the reason that I understand where Joey's coming from is it's, like, the relationship is still really new, and you're still, even though they've been friends forever, you're still building the trust in the relationship at this stage. So it's much different than, like, years down the line this happening. This is a fresh, brand new relationship that's still, like, very fragile. And I think that, like, it's a mistake to pull some, like, crap like this. Like, I don't have a journal or a diary, but I also don't really keep secrets from Will. But we're married. Like, to me, it's different than a brand new relationship. Your brand new boyfriend snoops in your journal.
I think he's probably done this before. I think that...
I don't know, because he probably would have found this stuff like this before and had a
connection about it. I think
he's
probably, like, a frequent flyer into Joey's...
into people's
journals. Yeah, he probably, like, reads, like, has been working on this journal. Like, it's very specific where he opened up this journal. He probably reads, like, one page every single time he's there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, but I don't think he cared enough before. He was too involved in his own shit.
Maybe so. So, yeah. So, basically, she's just, like, they forgive each other. She's his biggest fan. She's always believed in him. Yeah. Every day, Joey amazes Dawson. And Joey's, like, good, which I liked. And then they just make out on the dock. And then, okay, hold on. This is my biggest issue with this entire episode. So Joey's like, I have to go to Pacey, blah, 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 blah. Can you get home on your own? Bitch, you have a motorboat. What do you mean? Just motorboat her the way home. Just
motorboat her all the way home.
No, like, just go drive her home. Like, it's going to take you 2 seconds. The creek's not that big. I don't get it.
Dawson owns the creek. He's the only one who's allowed to have a motorboat. He's like, you're going to, I like those strong arms on you, Joey. You're going to row your ass home because I ain't got time for
this
shit.
It's ridiculous. It would take him so quick to bring her home and then go right back to Pacey. It makes no sense. He really does not give a fuck about
it. No fucks given.
Incredible.
Yeah. I think we should bounce very quickly to the Joey, Andy, and Joey, Zach's, or Jack,
Jackie boy. This is exciting.
So basically, we get our first, like, Joey-Andy interaction. I love Andy. I feel like she's so just, like, she just will talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
she's up for some fun.
She just approaches Joey, introduces herself. She's like, my brother needs a job. Can he, like, come by and check out the ice house? And I just thought this was so sweet. I don't know. I really like Andy. I feel like she's trying to help her brother out. What do you think of, like, Joey and Andy? Do you see any potential for friendship here?
I don't know. Joey so hates new people.
She really
reminds me of my friend who, it's like, my friend hates new people. She hates it when you try to bring anyone new into the group. Like, she really despises, like, any change within, like, a social setting. And it takes her, like...
Is she a Taurus? Because I feel like Joey has to be a Taurus at this point with how much she hates change.
She's not a Taurus. She's a Gemini, my friend. Mm. But it really takes her, like, 10 meetings for her to accept you into the group. It's, like, a whole thing. And normally people get, like, chased away because they're like, this bitch is really rude.
Yeah.
So yeah, Joey hates the fact that like someone's up in her space, but then she's like, you know what? Like, we really do need help. I like how Andy, number one, why does Jack need a job? I thought they were rich.
That's what we know so far. We know they live like in the country club area, but we don't know any more than that. That's what Pacey has said, mm-hmm. is like he knows where they live and he knows it's like fancy.
Number two, who's older, Jack or Andy?
Jack.
Jack's the older brother. Okay. Maybe yes. Andy mm-hmm. Isn't old enough to get a job like child services or whatever.
I think it's mostly like that Jack. Also, I think it couldn't just be that they need the money, but I feel like maybe just Jack just wants a job.
Yeah. So Jack is described as kind of shy, really smart, and super nice once you get to know him.
Which I feel like that tracks based on what we saw with his interactions with Joey.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to interrupt their fight with Dawson and Joey, but he, like, you know, he gets the job and he offers to close up on his first day, which I'm like, Joey, don't leave. Bessie would have a call.
Bad call. That's not good. Not good. So, yeah, he is helpful. He gives advice to, you know, to Joey about... you know, like, it might be your first fight, but you haven't had your first makeup, which is exciting.
I thought that was sweet.
I think it was interesting that Joey felt comfortable to open up to Jack because Joey doesn't open up to anybody. So I felt like it was very interesting that she felt comfortable in this first meeting opening up to Jack.
I think it makes Joey sense just because
might hate like, if- women.
I don't think it's that. Here's the thing. I think that, like, so Dawson's now her boyfriend, so she can't open up to him about the problems with him. Like, Pacey's nowhere around and isn't, I don't know, like, they connected on, like, family problems, but I don't know that she's going to feel comfortable going to him because he's best friends with Dawson. And her and Jen aren't exactly like peas and carrots at this point. So she's not surrounded by friends. So I feel like she just, like, Jack was nice enough to her that she felt comfortable opening up a little bit. And he witnessed it. So what is she going to say?
That's true. But, like, she was such a skunk face to Andy. I just think that she doesn't like girls. She's one of those girls that are like, I get along better with...
I'm a guy's girl.
I get along with guys much better than I do with girls. It's like, but you don't even...
Girls are so catty.
But you don't even try.
Like, yeah.
And you're the one that's 100%. Not being warm, so...
100%. But yeah, what do you think of Jack upon your first, you know, impression? What's your first impression?
I like Jack. I mean, I'm interested in how he's going to fit into this group. I think it's interesting that I was not anticipating Andy and Jack, to the two new characters, to be siblings. That was a surprise for me, which makes sense because everybody else, like, we don't really see anybody else have, well, no, that's not true. Everybody pretty much has siblings except for Jen and Dawson, but they're all, like, so individual. Like, there's no siblings in the group yet, you know what I mean?
Like, sibling friends.
Right, yeah. So I thought that this was an interesting addition. I'm really excited. Like, the McPhee kids, like, really seem like, I don't know, they're like fresh, you know, like they are going to bring like a fresh perspective. I'm thinking of like love matches potentially, and I don't I can't really see Jack and Jen at this moment, but that's the only thing that logically makes sense, because I don't think that they're going to, at least for now, try to do something between Joey and Jack. I think this season is going to focus a lot on the Dawson and the Joey stuff for a while. So I don't really know where Jack fits into the equation, but I can see Jack getting along with the boys. I think that it makes sense. So I think he's going to be a friend. I think he's going to be like a fresh friend. Andy, I hope that Andy, once again, like, I think that we're going to get into it, but I see Jen pulling herself away from the Creek creeps, and Andy can potentially be like a fourth in this group.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen it start to happen. I guess we can go over to Jen now because we're kind of already there talking about, like, her distancing herself. Like, it's very obvious from her interactions with Graham first thing in the episode that, like, she's still in a funk. Mm-hmm. She's just, like, not feeling it. And, like, whether or not it has to do with her grandfather's death or her breakup with Dawson or a combination of those things, I feel like she definitely feels alienated at this point, because who is she supposed to hang out with when she was only friends with the Creek Creeps?
Yeah.
And anybody, now she's,
I mean,
up
like I
Dawson.
Said, anybody else, anybody, like, look in the cafeteria, yep, point at anybody and go to them, like, please, for the love of God. But
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1 pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode, I know she's a fucking hot mess disaster, but I was living for it. I was living
for Jen and Abby.
Oh my God. Jen and Abby. The baddest, yeah, bitches in Cape Side.
I love Abby's approach of immediately being like, tell me all about New York. I want to move there. Tell me all about, like,
the boys,
the guys, yes, you've banged.
Abby,
and like,
I love Abby. Yeah. I really loved Abby in the first season. Like, when I saw Abby in detention, I was like, this girl is the it girl. Like, she's a freaking fireball. We called her like a firecracker. Like,
yeah, she's a hot mess express. Yeah. I knew she was coming back too, and I knew you'd be so excited to see her because she's just a fun character.
Fun.
And you know what? She is that bitch that will go to jail for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she will be sitting next to you in the jail cell laughing about what you guys pulled off. Like, you can't deny that she is a ride or die, like, true blue friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Abby's a character, if you're her friend, she will do anything for you.
Yeah.
I feel like she definitely pulls Jen in to kind of, like, under her wing a little bit in this episode, and is like, fuck those Creek Creeps, let's get fucking drunk.
Yeah, I love that. I really do. I really like Abby. I did not recognize Abby at first. Like, her lighter hair really threw me off. I don't know why. I was,
do you like it or no?
No, I like her darker hair. Not to be, like, a stickler, but I think that I liked her darker hair better. But,
yeah.
So, love that Queen Abby is just, like, getting herself out of gym class, because Queen Abby does not participate in gym. She made up some disease called pelvic liposis because she stole her doctor's letterhead, which is, like, such a bomb-ass move. And yes, she's like,
can't believe you used menstrual cramps, Jen. Yeah. You have to clean up now.
Yeah, that is a rookie mistake, because that means that you have cleanup duty. Like, you have to do something. So, yeah. So she is first, like, being her typical Abby self and just, like, mocking Jen about, like, being a loser. But then Jen's like, you don't know a thing about me. I was a badass bitch in New York. And then,
yeah,
that seems to really interest Abby. She wants to hear all about it. And I think that they both need each other.
Yeah, they're both, like, obviously Jen's going through a bit of a rough patch right now. And I think that all she wants to do is kind of just forget all of that. And Abby seems like the perfect person to do that with, right? Like, she's nothing but fun. She's nothing but inhibition. You know what I mean? She has no inhibitions. Like, she'll do whatever she wants whenever she wants. And they get, you know, she has a bottle of champagne. They get drunk at Pacey's party. The only thing about Abby is she's also, like, a real big shit stirrer. And so she sees Dawson coming up from the docks, and she bets Jen the rest of the champagne bottle that she won't kiss the next guy she sees. And of course it's Dawson.
You're on, sister friend.
I loved that. You're on, sister friend. But I think the thing is I think if Abby had known that Jen wasn't completely over Dawson, I don't think she does that bet. I think that once she realizes that, like, shit, like, Jen isn't over Dawson, like, okay, well, we're gonna get him back for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she is down.
That, I mean, and that's exciting for me, because I rather Jen be, like, a hot mess but a badass and, like, just stirring shit up than being a sad sack with her shitty haircut.
Exactly. And this is where I think things are going to get interesting. Like, I love even Abby is like, why do you want Dawson back?
Yeah, like, I know. She's like, you know what I mean? Oh, God, why? But yeah. It's she's like, you know what? I love him. Like, it's like not the alcohol talking. She's like, and then Abby's like, fine, done deal. We're going to get him back for you.
Yeah. I definitely think Abby is that friend where you're like, you know, you're walking with her and you're like, oh my God, see that girl over there? We don't like her. Yeah. Or she's awful. Yeah. And Abby is like, yeah, we hate her.
Yeah.
Like she is the girl who will like do things because you're her friend. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a fun dynamic to introduce into this season. It breathes life back into Jen as a character.
Absolutely.
And I'm really, really excited to get your thoughts on them as a pair.
Yeah, I mean, initially, like I know that they're just going to cause trouble. But I love them as a duo, and I think that, like, Abby is definitely going to, like, bring Jen back from the depths of, like, madness.
Yeah, and we know that, like, this is Jen dipping back into her old ways. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that she was, like, drank a lot in New York and did things she wasn't proud of. So, like, this is definitely, like, bringing her down to a certain extent, but, like, it's also very
but
fun.
It's also a teen drama, and I don't care.
Exactly.
But, like, also, why is three drinks her limit? Three like glasses of champagne is her limit? Like, girl,
I'm assuming it's like three like solo cups of champagne or something, like not exactly like a champagne,
like come on girl bowl. Like pull yourself together.
Yeah She's a lightweight.
Papa Pacey.
Yeah, so Jen and Pacey,
hold on one sec.
What?
Pacey's hair is so fucked.
Pacey's hair
is terrible.
It's like red.
It's so red because you know why? Because it was so bleached. And by the way, like, of course, I looked up Cruel Intentions, and of course, I remember Joshua Jackson in Cruel Intentions. Yes. And he definitely bleached his hair for Cruel Intentions. Yeah. Yes, you are right. I'm sorry about that.
So, but it looks like shit. Yes, it looks red.
It was yellow, and then they added like boxed hair dye to it instead of like going to a professional. I'm assuming like probably.
No, it looks like shit.
And yeah, it's red. It's terrible. Pacey, shave.
It's better than the bleach though.
I don't think so. I think that this is worse. Ooh, I honestly do. No. I honestly do. I say just shave the whole thing off and then just grow. It'll only be a month. Fresh. It's a wash now. It's terrible. It's an awful color. But
yeah, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it's Pacey's 16th birthday. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Which, actually, yes, so I don't know. We knew he was 15.
Right, season one, everybody was 15.
I thought that he was 16, which...
No, they're all 15. Mm-hmm. So they're all turning 16. So Pacey's going to, like, get his driver's test, but he fails it. And the whole plan was that him and Dawson were supposed to go to Maine. They were supposed to do like a road trip to Maine. Mm-hmm. And when Pacey sees Dawson, he tells him he failed his driver's test. But like Dawson doesn't give a shit.
No.
All he cares about is talking about his problems with Joey.
Yeah.
And so Pacey soon realizes, Pacey realizes like, oh, you don't remember my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Pacey's upset because not only like does like his family always forget his birthday, but Dawson's like the only one, like he's always made up for the fact that his family doesn't pay attention to his birthday by like doing something big. Right. And the fact that like even Dawson doesn't remember his birthday is very upsetting for Pacey. Understandably.
Yeah, this was like during the Jen Pacey conversation, which I actually really liked.
Yeah,
like,
this was, I thought it surprising.
It was an interesting pairing, but like I really liked them because they're both kind of going through it in different ways.
Yeah.
And it was so sad to hear that like Pacey's family forgot his birthday too. Like no one gave a shit.
No.
And poor Pacey like expects that he's going to like get his license. Him and Dawson are going to go to Maine. And meanwhile, Dawson's too fucking obsessed with Joey's journal that he doesn't even remember it's poor Pacey's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would be pissed.
Yeah, I know. It's upsetting. Like, nobody wants their birthdays to be forgotten about. That's, like, really ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Jen suggests that, well, Jen's like, you know, like, I totally get it. Like, Dawson and Joey are all up each other's asses. Like, they're both like, you know, we should be happy for them, but we're really not. And Jen's like, you should just, like, have a good time anyway. Like, forget about it all.
Well, I don't understand. So Pacey decides to throw a dock party. like, I guess maybe he did invite Jen. I mean, it seems like he put up flyers everywhere.
I know, but he should have been like, come on, Jen. Like, let's do it together. And, like, Jen's like,
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, and, like, even, like, Pacey doesn't, like, take Jen seriously, which makes Jen, like, all sad sack again.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that Pacey wasn't, like, because Pacey's so, like, very much like a come with guy. I was surprised
he gives zero shits about Jen. I haven't seen Pacey care about Jen at all in this entire series. He does not care about Jen.
Not really. But he gets really pissed when he's, like, throwing up all these flyers and Dawson still doesn't realize it's his birthday. Still doesn't put two and two together. Yeah. And so Pacey is done with him. He like, doesn't give a shit about Dawson at this point. He's like, go off with your fucking girlfriend and, like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And Dawson still doesn't get it. It takes Dawson going to the dock party to fucking remember it's Pacey's ridiculous. Birthday.
It's so bad. I honestly can't believe that took him that long.
I feel like he should have remembered when Pacey was like, don't you have anything to say to me today? Like, come on, bro. That's your cue.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. If you can't remember birthdays, then put in your Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot. Your beeper.
Your beep.
So, like, Pacey loses it and basically is like, oh, you don't know why I have my scar on my cheek, the real reason my dad hates me, or why I ride the line between insecure and overconfident.
Those are my questions, too. Maybe not so much about the scar.
No, who cares about the scar?
But that's the tea that I want to know. That is what I'm watching the show for. I would like to know those answers to those questions very much so.
I think we know at least a little bit about the insecurity stuff, and it seems to be because he's the black sheep of his family that, like, he has a lot of insecurities about it, but we don't know about his, I mean, we haven't even met his dad, so we don't know too much about what that's all about, but
still can't spring the extra $50,000 a year to get this guy on camera. Jesus Christ.
I know. Eventually we need to see him. But this is when Dawson finally fucking realizes it's Pacey's goddamn birthday.
Yeah, and then he's like, I feel terrible.
Well, you fucking should, bro. You should.
Yeah. But, you know, he can't fix it. Pacey's like, I'm not the third wheel. And then ultimately, I don't know. Later,
I think Pacey's just, like, doesn't want to hold a grudge.
No, he forgives because Pacey will always forgive.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, you know, Dawson pretends to want to help clean up. And, you know, Pacey's like, you know, I forgive you. I'm going to miss you too much of a friend if, like, I ditch you. And then Dawson's like, you're always going to be my best friend.
Yeah. And he offers to, like, go to Maine that moment, which I thought was a nice offer. You know what I mean? He's like, because Dawson is definitely not the, like, spontaneous type.
No.
So I appreciated that from him at the very least to, like, try to make it up to Pacey in that way.
Do you think they go? Do they go?
I mean, I don't think so. It's, like, the middle of the night, but – or late night, I should say. But I don't know. If you're Pacey, how long do you hold a grudge against Dawson for not remembering your birthday?
Well, it's Pacey. If it's I can't tell you. If you're asking me how long would Dawson hold a grudge, I have the answer for you. You forgive pretty much instantly, and then you remember it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you constantly have passive-aggressive remarks about
it. Yeah, I don't know what Pacey does. I can't help you there.
I feel like Pacey lets him off rather quickly. Yeah. It's, like, not even 24 hours, you know?
Absolutely.
But
we
only have one couple left.
Let's talk about something that actually matters.
Pacey and Andy.
Andy McPhee, my girl, kind of. I mean, she's okay. Like, she's not like, it's like, for me, it's like Joey tip top number one, number two, Abby. Love Queen Abby. Number three, am I ranking the girls or everybody?
I don't know. You're the one who started this.
Okay, fine. I'm going, keep going. Pacey, number three. Number four, Andy McPhee. Number five, Dawson. I don't know Jack yet. And then Jen's on the bottom.
Right. Jen. Yeah. 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 I mean, I like Andy. I like her approach here.
She's, like, a little too happy.
I love,
I need her less happy.
She's a lot.
Yeah, she's a lot.
She's bubbly. I think that's why I appreciate her. Because she just, like, doesn't seem to have much of a filter.
Yeah.
And so she, like, she asks, like, she approaches Pacey and she's like, I don't want your flyer on my car. But then, of course, she asks about the party.
Okay, he puts the flyer on the car. Then she's like, I don't want the flyer on my car. Then he's like, you're not invited anyway. And then she's like, but, like, I kind of want to come.
I want to come.
And then she comes.
Yeah.
But
you don't blame her. She's, like, new in town, yeah. So it makes sense. And I love how he's like, oh, it's a going away party. I'm dying from a heart strike.
That was very funny. I laughed at that. Yeah. I need my friends with a little bit more misery.
I don't know. I appreciate Andy's attitude, and I also appreciate that she's like, well, you make me mad, not nervous, and mad trumps nervous. Yeah. So she doesn't, like, she's too afraid to, like, mingle with people she doesn't know. Like, I get that. I get not wanting to, like, I can chat a friend's ear off, but I don't necessarily want to, like, approach strangers.
For me, it's easier to talk to strangers than friends sometimes.
Mm, yeah, I'm not like that.
Because then you can let them do all the talking.
Oh, no, I don't let anybody do any talking, usually.
It depends on my mood. yes, so Andy comes to the party. She's here for a good time, but doesn't want to talk to anybody. Pacey's pretty relieved because even though he invited all these people, like, none of his actual friends show up at first. So he's like,
he
actually just know you.
Right, and he doesn't seem to even like any of these people. That one bitch was like, this drink sucks, and, like, dumps it in the fucking creek or the river or the ocean, yeah, or whatever. I'm like, who the fuck are you, bitch?
Yeah, fuck her. She didn't pay wasteful. For anything.
No, she didn't. I loved Andy eavesdropping and hearing Dawson and Pacey have a conversation and realizing it's Pacey's birthday. And even if, I don't know, do you believe that this was truly supposed to be a Christmas present for Jack?
No.
The Magic 8-Ball.
No, but then...
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think...
Because first of all, it didn't have, like, Christmas wrapping paper on it. It was just, like, generic blue paper.
Like, I don't know how she would magically, like, have an unopened Magic 8-Ball and wrapping paper in her trunk. So, like...
That's what I'm saying. Why would it be in your car?
Oh, so she, like, went shopping around the corner.
I think so. Okay,
that would make sense.
Honestly, she has time to do it. Yeah. It's not like, you know, she had time to go buy a gift. Okay,
then, yeah,
I just think she's not willing to admit that, like,
no, I agree.
Oh, you know? But yeah, so she gives him the Magic 8-Ball. So cute. She then drops it in the water.
I think it's a good gift for Pacey, too.
Yeah, it totally fits his personality. Yeah.
She drops in the water. Yes. She's like, I've always been a klutz. Some things never change. And he's like... Yeah. You know, I thought things could change, but they just can't. Like, I'll always be the guy that, like, nobody takes seriously and that nobody, like, thinks about. And then.
Yeah, she says, maybe you're just Pacey Witter, the guy who's, like, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I love that line.
I know, because they're teenagers. Like, I'm a teenager. Like, they're still figuring shit out. Like, I understand having, like, the insecurity, but everybody is still trying to figure their shit out. Adults are even still trying to figure their shit out, you know?
They're like, you know, we're deep. You are deep. I like this budding, even if it eventually just turns into a friendship, I like what they're laying the land of.
I like their banter. I like their back and forth.
Yeah,
I think
too.
They're a fun pair. Like, I just think, like, Andy doesn't take Pacey's shit, and that's what he needs in a friend or otherwise. I think he needs someone who'll call him out on his bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely what he needs. And I do like Andy a lot. I just want to see more from Andy.
Yeah, we're only two episodes deep, so you're still learning a lot about her.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm very, very, very excited. Vanessa 9169 says, love Pacey and Andy together. She was so good for him and made him feel good. So I'm just going to take that as a friend. I'm not going to read too much into it. So so thank you, Vanessa. I'm very excited. Like, I do think from what I've seen thus far, I really like Andy's potential with Pacey.
Yeah.
Whether in a friendship or a potential relationship, which I
also think this is exactly what we mentioned as, like, we need more friends for them, right? And, like, we're getting new characters, which I do think, like, not that things were stale by any means, but it also just, like, breathes new life in by including new characters, new dynamics.
Yeah. So, you know? Okay, so Jack is the J name that I mentioned. So the two new characters, the two new, quote-unquote, bigger characters
is Jack and Andy, I'm assuming.
Right.
Are they, like, bigger characters than Abby?
Like, I'd say this season, maybe they, I don't know. I'm trying to remember, like, I think that, yeah, I'd say they are bigger characters than Abby in that, like, they're more connected to more people than Abby is. You can tell Abby's kind of, like, a gal pal for Jen.
Thank God.
Whereas, like, Andy is, and Jack, like, are going to be connected to more people, right? Like, Jack works at the Ice House. Like, Andy now has met Joey and is talking to Pacey. So, like, I just think, like, yeah. I mean, we're going to see a ton of all three of them. But if you're talking about who's connected to the most people, then, yeah, like, Jack and Andy are bigger characters.
I think that this is exactly what this show needed. I'm excited for the new peeps.
Yes. Do we want to do sassy sayings first?
Yeah.
And then, okay. Yeah. So my sassy saying was courtesy of PC. And it's when he's getting pissed with Dawson, which I appreciated. And he says, "I'm so sick and tired of hearing about your and Joey's little mini dramas. I'm going to start tearing my fingernails out for relief. Get over yourself, Dawson. Deal.
Yeah, that was a good one. I had that one too. I have two others.
Ooh.
Dawson says, "Yeah, I pretty much suck, .. in all areas." It's like, yeah, pretty much. And then ultimately, like, this was so mean. It was so mean. This is probably the meanest thing I've heard somebody say in this entire series. But Abby, Abby says, "You have more style and sex appeal in your little finger than that white trash loser."
I almost wrote that down.
It was because I was like, mean. Oof. Like, I don't think
she can be mean.
Yeah. So about my girl Joey, that's a little hurtful. Don't call my girl Joey white trash. Like, she might.
Oh yeah.
She might not have a phone. She might have to rowboat with, like, a broken oar. She
doesn't have a motor.
Like, she might, you know, be wearing Dawson's clothes from the fourth grade. But don't make fun of her.
Yeah. Abby's a mean bitch sometimes. That's just how it is. It's
like, I love her, but, like, that was a mean thing. It was rough. I don't know if I know, like recognize any songs.
I didn't recognize any of them. I mean, I could have looked one. There was, like, one that I was like, maybe this is supposed to be famous, but if I didn't recognize it, I wasn't going to, like, write it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's okay. Do we want to move on to the fashion hour?
Or we do feedback first?
Oh, yeah. Let's do feedback first.
Okay. Felipe wrote in and says, "What is the best birthday present you've ever gotten?"
Ooh. This is tough. Best birthday present I've gotten. My parents got me a really nice pearl necklace for one of my birthdays that I really appreciated. I still wear it. I really like pearls. I think they're kind of like an underrated gem. I don't know if they're gems, but you know what I mean, stone. So I've gotten that. I don't know. Like, it's really tough.
I have a string of pearls.
Pearl's gotten me a lot of nice things. Yeah. I have ones that I have, like, a bracelet and, like, a necklace that all, like, match.
Oh, very nice. The two favorite birthday presents that are sticking out for me is Drew. 1 year got me a pair of, you reminded me, these really nice David Yurman pearl and diamond earrings. And I love them. And then for my 30th birthday, oh, I got so much good stuff on my 30th birthday. But one of the things that I got was a Venus of Fleur, which is, like, the forever flowers. I got another one for my most recent birthday. But this one was in, like, an acrylic box. And it's, like, a set of four forever roses. But it has, like, a little acrylic drawer that comes out. I love it. It's still good. Like, it's 2 years later and these roses are still kicking. So, my best friend and my close friend, who's her sister, got it for me. So
nice.
Yes. I have an email from our friend Dirtbag Kelly.
Yay.
So Dirtbag Kelly writes, so since this episode is heavy on the Mitch and Gale plot, let's get into it. Do we have to? I'm bad on the overall timeline of events, but he'd say that it's been about 3 months since the affair came to light. I think that's pretty much correct. Maybe, yeah I would say like probably 10 creek weeks, maybe 10 to 12 creek weeks.
Okay.
Before that, we knew them to be a happy couple, but the only issue is that Mitch doesn't work, if that's even true, or an issue, which I speculated. Since then, Mitch has done everything in his within reason that Gale wants, therapy, etc. So I just thought it was a little weird that Gale is so taken aback when he wants to go to the lawyer to check his options. Because the show is painting it as Gale would just like to forget things and get back to normal. And I think he called her Hornball. And Hornball Mitch. I've never heard somebody be like hornballing somebody. That's funny. Where Mitch isn't ready for intimacy, as it seems. Anyway, wild ride for Mitch and Gale this episode, with Gale almost giving Grams a stroke in their convo and Mitch proposing an open marriage. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel as though Mitch, the thing with Mitch is, like, I agree with, like, mostly everything that you're saying that, like, you know, Mitch is, like, agreeing to do certain things that Gale wants to do, like the ballroom dancing and the therapy. But Mitch is also being very, like, let's work things out, but is holding a grudge. And it's, like, not making it easy to...
Right. And if he's having issues forgiving Gale, then I feel like that's something you need to work on. Like, if you can't... Your marriage isn't going to work if you can't trust your partner. Right. So it's like you need to find a way to make that work, whatever that way might be, if you want to salvage the marriage. But I don't know that he wants to. Like, he's still questioning whether he wants
but
to or not.
Gale, it's like she has to put away the double-ended dildo. Like, he does not want to have sex with her. Like, at all. And she has to just, like, get over it, you know?
I know. She's, like, buying out the sex shop with all of these things, like, to try to seduce her husband. Like, girl, the nipple clamps aren't working, okay? Like, get out a therapy book. Yeah. Get out a couples book.
Anything.
Work on your marriage. Yeah. Like, you're obviously the sex was fine.
That wasn't the issue. Like,
exactly. Yeah. That was not the problem. Obviously, you were having sex with both of them at the same time. Yeah. Not the same time, but you know what I mean? Concurrently.
Yeah.
I guess.
And I don't know if Gale should have been, like, surprised. And I don't even think that Gale has a right to be upset for Mitch, like, checking out his options, trying to get a full picture. Like, how much will this cost? How long would this be? Like, it's always good to, like, before committing something, like, shopping around, getting a sense of what this would look like. Maybe Mitch is the type of person that, like, needs the lay of the land first.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he just needs to know his options, which, fair, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so Kelly continues, Dawson is back to being terrible, forgetting Pacey's birthday, reading Joey's journal. Like, what is wrong with you, Dawson? But basically gets off scot-free in typical Dawson fashion.
All true.
Yeah, we talked a lot about this. Like, he did have, like, a big kind of steps back. But also, he's not as bad as Dawson season one.
No, I just think, like, he makes mountains out of molehills.
Oh, yeah, very dramatic.
You know?
Very dramatic. Then Jen and Abby pairing up. I feel like Sarah is giving life right now. I totally am. Like, this was everything that I wanted and
I
more.
Knew you would be so excited when Abby came back. Because I was just like, I was waiting for it to happen because I knew, like, you loved Nellie and then you loved Abby.
Where did Nellie go? Where's Nellie?
Nellie got cut
and, like, got replaced.
Yeah.
All right.
But you can't have an Abby and a Nellie.
I mean, there's only room for one. Different characters, but sure. So Jen's still sucking, but at least we get to see bad girl Jen. Bad girl Jen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's so fun. Now to what we all want to talk about. Andy, Kelly, you love Andy. I want to know, like, Kelly, like, was Andy, like, your first TV school crush? Like, we talk about our TV school. What am I saying?
TV school.
your first TV crush. Like, we always talk about my first TV crush was Corey Matthews. Like, do let me know if your first crush was Andy, because you love Andy. And let me know who your favorite TV school crush was. Whatever the fuck that means. First pops in and hooks her brother up with a job interview because she's such a great sister, which leads yes. her to our first glimpse of Jack. Now, here are my few questions. Pacey throws a party at the docks. How does the fly? Like, doesn't he work there? He doesn't have a boat. Like, no one's shutting this down. Just letting a bunch of underage kids drink. Okay. Yeah.
It's the 90s. They didn't give a shit as much, I think.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm supposed to believe Pacey not all over Andy the second she rolls up in the orange bathing suit. Again, okay.
I think he's so annoyed with her from their, like, first meeting that he's, like, not even paying attention. He just finds her annoying, like, at that point.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how this party flies. Like, we also had, like, a totally open beach party with, like, all the kids in the creek drunk, too.
We just have to, like, discern, you know what I mean? There's, like, a suspend our disbelief at this point. Maybe. Because it's a teen drama.
Maybe, like, anything goes on the creek.
It's Dawson's it's creek. Dawson's, it's his friend. He has the hookup.
Dawson makes the rules of his own creek. He owns the creek. Clearly, he's the only one with a motorboat. Motorboating all over the creek. Anyways.
I can't believe that's the first time this joke has come up. Like, oh my God, motorboating all over the creek.
Anyways, Kelly says, I'm supposed to believe that. Oh no, he already said that. Okay. Well, you know. Also, Andy McPhee is a great gift giver. A magic eight ball. Solid gift. Us and Rob Cesternino agree.
There you go.
Just love the Andy and Pacey vibe. My other question is, Joey, you let Jack close on day one?
Yes.
Really? Not great.
We condemned her for this. Not a good move, Joey.
Yeah. As always, great work, ladies. I wouldn't want to disappoint, so 14th of October, 1998 was the air date for Inquiring Minds.
Oh, my God. Nobody is inquiring, They're Kelly.
All inquiring.
Nobody.
They all want to know.
Kelly is the only one.
That's not true. I've heard dozens of people say that they
want
to know.
Dozens. Sure, Jan. Anyway, shall we move swiftly on to the fashion?
Thank you,
of
Kelly. Always
thank you,
loving
Kelly.
Your emails. You make us laugh. Let me know. I want to know about your
TV school crush.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think you meant like someone who was on TV that you have a crush but on. Where when did you're the in school?
Where did the school come from?
I don't know.
Okay.
In school. Dawson's in school. They're all in school.
Listen, oh, wait. Is schoolyard crush? Is that a thing? Whatever. Okay.
I don't know.
We have two fashion awards here, if you don't know. The Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit and the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. So our first award, the Rachel Green Award for most 90s outfit. My nominees are, first up, we have Jen. And Jen has her new haircut, which we actually didn't even really talk about. It's not as bad as it was in the opening scene. Like the opening credits, it's horrific. It's so bad in the opening credits scene.
Yeah.
Because it's like curled and it's short and it's gross. It wasn't as bad. But she has her new short haircut. There was no like dramatic, like, I'm going to cut off my haircut because I'm going through something scene. Like I was thinking it was going to be. But here it is. It's a new haircut. She is wearing this like butterfly t-shirt, and bitches in the 90s loved butterflies.
Why did so many people love butterflies?
I had multiple butterfly shirts People loved butterflies, butterfly clips, butterfly t-shirts. This one, this shirt, I think this shirt is like all sheer, and you had to wear like a cami under it.
Yeah.
Which was very popular back in the day. So yeah, this butterfly shirt, we have some maroon pants and like some black like heeled shoes of some sort.
Yeah.
What do you think of the butterflies?
I fucking hate it. I hate it. I think it's ugly. I just think it does nothing for her. Like, we were talking about this. Like, we want badass Jen. We don't want, you know, floral going to communion style dresses and like kitty. This to me reads very juvenile.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I'm not a big fan. I totally agree on it being 90s. Like, 100% it is. I just think Jen is better than this, personally.
Yeah. It was definitely a sight, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have our Queen Abby, who, new hair as well, lightened up. We got light hair, light brown, summer vibes. So she's wearing her hair, like, there is some, like, little clippy action going on where it's, like, it mm-hmm. makes your hair into, like, a half up, half down type of thing. Which was very 90s, too. She is wearing a red halter top with flowers, like patchwork or embroidered flowers onto it. With like skinny, it's not like a true halter top. It's just like comes up and has like two little like skinny straps that you like tie behind your neck. And then she's wearing a black skirt. And then she's wearing these like chunky platform black sandals with a white stripe.
Yes. What do you think? Everybody had these sandals. Yeah. The platform sandals. Yeah, yes.
We also have some skinny eyebrows.
Oh, yes. The sperminess is on, girl. The sperminess is on. This reads very 90s to me. Like you said, maybe she's not using butterfly clips, but just the fact of having your hair in like a half up, half down hairdo with like it pulled back in pieces. Very 90s. Mm-hmm. Love a platform sandal. Mm-hmm. I think this, again, this is what I want from Jen. It's a little bit edgier, right? Like the shirts, the skirt is like a little on the short side. Like it reads very summery to me. She looks like she's about to stir shit up. And yeah. She's wearing her signature color of red. You know I love a bitch in red. I love this on her.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks better in red with the darker hair, but whatever. Next up, another interesting look. We have Pacey with his red hair. So this is like not quite a Hawaiian shirt, but like the same like silhouette style as a Hawaiian shirt, but it has the naked ladies on it, which was such like a motif that I feel like I saw back in the day where it's like, so it has like, it does have, like, luau flowers, and then, like...
Yeah, I think it's lays on it.
Yeah, lays on it. So it is a Hawaiian shirt, but with, like, little naked women, like, Betty Boop women on it. And then he's wearing some, like, khaki shorts, and then he's wearing those, like, dad sandals that, like, have thick flip-flop straps.
Well, they're not mandals, at least. They're still flip-flops.
Yeah, they're flip-flops.
Yeah, the shirt is fugly. It's awful. I stared at it so long when I watched this episode trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Do you see it now? Like, do you see the naked women?
Yeah, no, I could see the ladies now. Yeah, the now. Ladies. Like, I knew it was supposed to be Hawaiian, but it, like, looks... It, like, if you're looking at it from afar, it just looks like a hideous pattern. Again, it's fine. Pacey's hair is awful. It's, like, a weird reddish brown. It looks, I like, hope they rusty. Fix it. I know. It looks terrible. It's an easy one for me. It's a no-brainer. Abby gets the award. She's a queen. We love a platform sandal. We love a half-up, half-do hairdo. I actually don't mind her hair in the lighter color. I think it looks nice. It looks very summery to me, giving me summer vibes. So Abby is the easy winner of the Rachel Green Award this week.
Yep. Next up, we have the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. So my first nomination is, Andy McPhee, and she's wearing like a very like monochromatic, like look, I would say, where she's wearing mm-hmm. this like gray, high-necked, like, no-sleeve striped top. I really like this. I love gray. And she's wearing, like, a gray pleated skirt. Don't know what the shoes are, but her hair is, like, parted in the middle and straight. And she's wearing gold earrings, like, little gold hoops.
Yeah, I could totally see somebody wearing this. She has, like, a cute little watch on. Very, like, summer businessy almost. Like, it looks kind of professional in a way.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I could totally see somebody wearing it. I think it's a little bit, I don't know, pleated skirts for me never really.
They
know,
never took off. Pleated skirts.
Not, no, not for me.
I hear you.
But I think she looks cute in it.
I hear ya. I hear ya. Next up, we have Dawson and his I'm going to read the journal look. and then the second picture is look. I've done enough reading for today look. So Dawson is wearing a gray t-shirt. He is wearing his favorite shark tooth necklace that I don't know if it's a shark tooth. I can never tell. It's like kind of a shark tooth, kind of not, but apparently his mom made it. Then he's wearing a blue like short sleeve button down pocketed shirt, his favorite khakis, a watch. His hair's like looking pretty good this episode, almost kind of.
Yeah, it's not too bad, honestly. It's not as fluffy.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think he, like, they someone could have ironed that shirt before they put
looks
it on
like
him,
looks like Mitch's
honestly.
Clothes a little.
Yeah, it looks like it's a little wrinkly on him. It's fine. Like, it's a typical, like, bro shirt. I don't know. It's fine. It's just, it's bland. It's like, I feel like Dawson's wardrobe is like his personality, honestly.
Oh,
like, it's kind of bland sometimes.
Jeez, Louise. last up. Sorry about it, but not sorry. Another Andy McPhee look. And this is the infamous fluorescent orange bathing suit that Dirtbag Kelly mentioned. It's just a bikini, a orange bikini with this like really fun summery wrap around her waist that's like multiple colors and striped, but also all bright colors and neon. Her hair is, like, I think she has some sort of, like, chopstick type thing, which was very 90s and not very current. But let's just pretend, like, she's just having, like, a little half up, half down moment. But what do you think of her orange bikini?
I love this. I love a bold color. And I think that the skirt wrap thing is very cute.
Yeah.
And tie-dye was very in like this in last year. Yeah. And this is not tie-dye, but it, like is reminiscent of tie-dye, which is very current. I just like the like boldness of like, I'm going to wear an orange bikini top.
Yeah.
And no one's going to say shit
to me.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, like I have like pretty similar coloring to Andy, I would say. Wear like lightish, lightish hair, like similar skin tone color. And I would never think that this type of color would look good on me because typically if you're like wearing fluorescence, like you have to be tan.
Right.
But she's rocking it. She's rocking this like fluorescent.
She gives no shit.
Yeah, she's very fair. I hope she wears sunscreen. I'm seeing a little, I'm seeing a little redness on her upper arm and elbow, so I'm concerned about sunburn, but hopefully she got
sunscreen is your friend, people. Put on your SPF.
Hoping
daily.
That wardrobe got her some sunscreen real quick after this scene.
Yes. I think it's easy again for me on this one. Andy's getting my point for her her beach realness. I appreciate the boldness. I think that this type of bathing suit, honestly, is you could wear it any year and you'd be able and no one would bat an eyelash. So I love it. Andy's new and she's already on the board for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. So you go, Andy.
You go, Andy. Woohoo.
You go, Glenn Coco.
What now?
So, yes. So, no. Abby and Andy are our winners. So the ladies taking it by storm.
Of course.
Love that. Love that.
Of course. I mean, I try. I try to throw some guys in there. I try, but it.
Listen, they just suck. It's not your fault.
It's a hard road for the boys in their fashion. Especially when khakis are all the rage.
Honestly, too much khaki.
Too much.
Do you want to guess what you think is coming up next?
Yes. So, like, for once, I don't know what the episode title is because, Netflix didn't, mess it up for me this time. So, what's the episode title?
Alternative Lifestyles.
This is just a community title, Jessica. Alternative Lifestyles.
Alternative Lifestyles.
I would say that it is Freaky Friday up in the Dawson's Creek and
they're gonna switch bodies.
We're doing a personality switch.
Oh God, who are the two?
Who's the two? It has to be I don't know, Joey and Jen. Like Abby did a witch.
Oh God.
Yeah. Abby did a witch curse on them.
Oh no.
And she's like, you said that you wanted to be with Dawson again. Here you go. You got your wish.
Oh no. Yeah. This is awful.
I know.
This
is alternative awful.
Alternative lifestyles.
Lifestyles.
That's where we are.
All right. Well,
let's see. So that's what we have coming up next. Season 2, episode 3 of Dawson's Creek. Obviously still doing our Boy Meets World content, so check that out. And then coming up, if you like astrology, we have a podcast for you that's going to be coming out. We are bringing on two guys from Boy Meets World Fever. We went on their podcast a while back. Now Chance and Cameron are coming on our podcast and we're going to teach them all about astrology. And then as a fun exercise, we're going to be sorting, if you will, Boy Meets World characters into different astrological signs. So listen to that podcast when it comes out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to put up a question thread. So definitely send in questions if you have any. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this can be good. And then, you know, if it's a hit, maybe we'll do it again.
Or yeah, we could totally do it for
something similar.
Wink, wink. We're so subtle. I love it.
Especially when you say we're so subtle.
We are subtle, Sarah. You're the one who said or something similar.
Something similar.
Yes. So very exciting stuff coming up. Obviously, get us on all social media at Shit90sPod and Shit90sPod@gmail.com if you'd like to send in long-form feedback, which we obviously love very much.
Yeah.
That's where you can find us.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we got this week.
That's it. That's all we got.
All right. So we'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for listening and have a good one. Bye.
Shit90shows.me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.